simple message today. God's will for your life is to have peace. The whole world, there's a few things that are common in every culture, every place, every age group, every demographic of human engagement, and that is people long for peace. People want to have peace of mind. The way we go about it, the amazing things people will do to try to bring rest to the turmoil of their soul or their mind are quite amazing. America, 5% of the world population, I think we use about 85% of all psychiatric drugs. So everyone's trying to find peace. And so we want to talk about today, peace through Jesus, okay? Jesus, his last great sermon is in the 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th chapters of the Gospel of John. And in John 14, verse 27, Jesus said this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Let me say it again to you. I'm going to just declare it right to your world. Peace I leave with you. My peace, the peace of Jesus Christ, I give to you. Not like the world gives do I give it. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God's will for your life is that your mind, your heart, your soul be at peace. And you're going to live there. You're going to win the victory. Some simple points. Number one, peace begins by knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So Romans 5:1 says this, "Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." It's impossible to have the peace of God without the peace from God, without knowing God. You can't live in peace until peace lives in you, but in the person of Jesus. Now here's a good little reminder. Every person you meet that doesn't know Jesus is carrying around tremendous internal baggage. They're bent over with the weight of all of their unremoved, unforgiven sin. So that bends the soul over in great agony and pain, and people go through all kinds of things trying to remedy that. Before you have the peace of God, you must make peace with God. The great burden of unforgiveness sin crushes the soul of the sinner. So peace begins with Jesus. So our society, you know, if you're a pothead, you're welcome here. I'm not going to criticize you. And one of my new neighbors does so much, I think I'm getting contact high like twice a week. I'm like, "Honey, I'm feeling kind of lightheaded, honey." But I would say this. What if I could tell you about something that was 100 times more powerful than pot? That was 100 times more reliable? "Oh, Pastor, I just want peace." Jesus wants you to have peace. And he said, "I'm giving you my peace." There is no higher, more superior peace in the universe than the peace of God, the peace of Christ. And he says, "I'm giving you my peace." And then he said this, it's funny, it's cute to me. He said, "I don't give it to you like the world gives." Have you ever had someone take back a present they gave you? I bet it happened several times. Somebody donates something to the church and 6 months later asks for it back. And, you know, I'm thinking, okay. But Jesus said, "I'm never going to take back this gift. It is yours to steward. It is yours to enjoy. It is yours to experience." So he said, I'm giving it to you. So it's our joy to have his peace. Number two, Jesus has given every single believer the great gift of his peace. So no matter what your life looks like, no matter what kinds of storms and struggles, turmoil, problems, and pressure you're in, you can have peace of mind. You can live in God's peace. The Bible says that in Romans 14, 17, "The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's righteousness, peace, and joy through the Holy Spirit." Now, I often entertain myself by imagining if the kingdom of God was a cracker. And every Sunday I gave you a holy cracker. And the cracker was so powerful, it made you holy for a whole week. No sin, walking with God perfectly. Man, that would be so cool, but that's not how it works. The kingdom of God is within you. It's with your mind and your soul, your spirit. It's righteousness, the gift that God gives us of restored innocence, of being made right with God, of being justified through Christ, of thinking right, believing right, living right, speaking right. So I get that. And then he said this, that righteousness unleashes peace. And God wants you to be a kingdom citizen living with the inherited blessing, the rightful privilege of divine peace. Any other experience outside of peace is not God's will. Worry's not God's will. Anxiety's not God's will. In fact, those two words, don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It's really a picture of anxiety and fear. And Jesus said this, that you can conquer all anxiety through my peace. You can live in victory over all fear through my peace. You can live a fear-free life. Peace will keep you there, protect you, guard you. In Galatians chapter 5, I pray this prayer every day. I pray this morning. Every single day, I pray for the fruit of the Spirit. Now, in the Bible, there are 9 fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5, and there are 9 gifts of the Spirit listed in 1 Corinthians 12. I pray for all 18 of those every day. I pray this morning. And so this morning, I said, Holy Spirit, fill me with the mind of Christ. Fill me with your fruit, your virtue, your character, your nature, agape, love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, patience, self-control. I pray for it every day because I leak. I wish on January 1, I could say, Lord, fill me this year with your love and joy and peace, and it lasted the whole year. It doesn't even last the whole day. I have to keep, like your car, either charging it or refueling it. I have to refuel my spirit. Thank you, Lord, for filling me. So I've made a conscious, intentional faith pursuit of those things being in me. I want to be known for being a loving person. I want to be known for being a happy person. London, who's 16 years old tomorrow, when she was 4 years old, grabbed my face as we were watching the movie Frozen for the 42nd time. Said, Papa, you're the funnest person in the whole world. So this morning you get to hear from the funnest person in the whole world. Aren't you lucky? And my point is this, that Jesus took away my sadness and he gave me a singing, joyful heart. He can do that. That's what God can do through Jesus and through his word. So the fruit of the Spirit is mine. You can have peace. Jesus said, I give it to you. Now, what are you going to do with it? Don't let these things, don't let troubles or fear win the day when your peace is more powerful than both of those things. Isaiah 53 says this, that Christ was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Now catch this. When Christ was heading toward the cross, the Roman soldiers cruelly mocked him by putting a crown of thorn and pushed it into his skull. Those thorns would have been over an inch and a half, maybe 2 inches long. They pressed it into his skull. Jesus was hurt in his head so I could be healed in my head. Come on. Jesus, every enemy of my peace, Jesus conquered at the cross. I can be free from mental torment, mental pain, anxiety, free from fear, free from a troubled heart. That's God's will. That's God's calling. That's God's promise to you. Point number 3. We can all live in God's perfect peace, no matter how many problems we face or pressures we experience. Now, this is a huge thing because a lot of times people think, if I just had a different family or a different job or a different spouse or a different this or that, if my circumstances were different, my inner world would be different. And that might be true for a little while. But eventually, the things you don't conquer in here come back. No matter how nice your new world is, they reassert themselves. And so God wants you to have peace no matter how many things are going on in your world. So peace doesn't come when your problems leave. Peace comes when His presence rules. Peace comes when we are purposely walking with God, holding His word close to us, and giving our burdens to God. So a couple things. Jesus said in this same passage in chapter 16, He said these things, verse 33, Christ said, "These things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." Now stop there for a minute. God's word releases God's peace to your soul. It's impossible to read the Bible and not have peace be one of the outcomes internally. He said, "My words will bring you peace." Then He said this, "In me there's peace. In the world there's tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Now here's what Jesus said. When you're walking with me, you're walking in peace. When you're not walking with me, you're in the culture of the world, which is tribulation. Notice, it's just the Greek word diplos. Diplos means pressure. The world's greatest weapon against you is pressure. My wife said amen. I was searching for anybody. The world's greatest weapon. Let me say this. Satan's most strategic weapon against you is pressure. So Jesus said, the world will try to mold you into someone you're not through pressure. But He said, don't worry, I whooped it for you. I overcame the pressure. I overcame its intended consequence. And you can be free, not from pressure, you can be free from the consequence. So in the kingdom of God, you will experience as much of your divine destiny as you have the ability to endure pressure. So we want to be people that handle pressure. Both my sons were all state basketball players, and they were the kids, they were the young guys at the end of the game who wanted the ball. But no one else did. Game's close, they want the ball. They liked pressure, they thrived under it. And you find out on the court who does, who doesn't, you know, the sports and all of life. And God says to you, stop running from pressure. Well, I'm just under a lot of pressure. Who isn't? Who isn't? Pressure. Oh, here's a good analogy. I want huge biceps. What have I got to do? Trainer says, lift weights. The heavier the weight, the bigger the muscle. I said, no. Just give me a pill. I want a magic bicep pill. No. You get strong by lifting what is heavy. And the heavier things you lift, the stronger you become. And the stronger you become, the more useful you are to God's purpose. So God wants you to be pressure-proofed by enduring, being able to endure. Okay, next scripture, Philippians 4 says this. Be anxious for nothing. Okay, no anxiety, no worry. No. Be anxious for nothing. How do I do that? But in everything through prayer, with supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Here's a simple phrase. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Shape your worry into a prayer, and you'll leave that season in peace. So that's God's will. So if I'm worrying about it, I need to pray about it. I need to give it to God. I said, Lord, here, I'm carrying this burden. And so it doesn't matter how many times you have to give it to God. Just keep giving it to God. The next verse says this, and the peace of God, woohoo, which passes all understanding. What does that mean? God gives you a peace that's unexplainable, unreasonable, unlogical, illogical. So my peace is stronger than my facts. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The Greek word for guard means a sentinel that stands guard, protecting territory. So peace is an armed soldier in your soul that doesn't let anybody in that would try to steal your rest, steal your peace. It's the filter. It's the gatekeeper. And so when I pray about it, when I'm not praying about it, then I'm carrying burdens I'm not made to carry. Just people ask me all the time, Pastor, how do you carry all those burdens? I laugh. I don't carry those burdens. We got thousands of people. How do you handle it? I don't carry none of their burdens. I don't carry my burdens. I don't carry those beautiful blonde people there, those little children, my children and grand. I don't carry their burdens. I give it all to Jesus. Sometimes I need a dump truck, but I give it all to Jesus. Here, Lord. You with me? I sleep like a baby. Aren't you worried about this or that? No. Are you worried? No. I give it all to Jesus. Worry is evidence I've not trusted God in that part of my life. So I can't have peace if I don't win the victory over worry, over anxiety. And you know, it's not, there's a journey in doing that. And a couple more verses about this. Romans 5 says this. Verse 1, be justified by faith, we have peace with God. Verse 3, not only that, we glory, we rejoice in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint, because God's love is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So here's what Paul said. Here's what the Bible says. The thing you're running from is the thing that's going to make you mighty. We rejoice when pressure comes. Why? Pressure is producing my perseverance. Now, here's the point. The temptation to run from pressure, if you don't win the victory of trying to escape every pressurized moment, every relationship you have will fail, every business you have will fail, every minute, because all the devil has to do is turn up the pressure and you'll run off. So when pressure comes, perseverance says, I'm not leaving. So on my tombstone, besides saying, here lies the happiest man that ever lived, it's going to say, he didn't quit or leave. What happened? Eventually, breakthrough came. Now, it happened 10 years later than I thought it would, but it happened. It happened. Why? Perseverance says, I'm not leaving. I'm staying. And then perseverance is the measure of character. So a person's character in the kingdom is determined by how much they can endure. And if you can take a licking and keep on ticking, you're going to end up in victory. So I get it. Listen, I understand I was seriously depressed. I understand all about life, all about the journeys of fighting these things. But I know this, if we let God, he'll turn bad things into good things. And you'll say, you know what? I'm glad that storm came. I'm a better person. I'm stronger. My faith is deeper because that storm came. You can't say that if you leave. You'll never know what God could have done. And then the end goal is that character produces hope. So when you can maintain a positive outlook on life after going through intensely negative things, you, my friend, are a history maker, a champion of God. They're acting better over here. I'm going to start preaching to them. And so what does that mean? The character inside of me says God's good when even when life is bad. I'm persevering. I know eventually God's going to work it for my good. So in the meantime, I'm trusting him. I'm giving my burdens to him. Come on, give your burdens to Christ. You have to give them to God. Maybe you're sitting next to your burden. Give them to God. Give them to God. Okay. Lastly, a couple quick things. How to live in peace. Number one, as a believer, confess your sins to God. unconfessed or unresolved, unrepented sin creates internal discord. Now, see, I've worked with God so long. I don't like 5 minutes of internal discord. So I'm driving. I was driving around last week. I feel sorry for you people that have to drive a lot. And God bless you. I just drive here, drive to the airport, drive from my home. And, you know, and I do go to hospitals, other stuff. So this person behaved really ungodly to me. So I'm driving down the road, and a heathen is doing very heathen-like things. And so I couldn't help it. I was in a great mood until they showed up. And I was afraid they were going to hit me. They didn't hit it. And I thought some things. I might have said some things. Now, here's my point. While those words were still in my mouth, I repented for them. Because I can't stand to not be right with God. Well, if you're hiding, harboring, and not confessing stuff, it's going to interfere with your peace. Okay. The Bible says this: if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, the righteous Christ Jesus. If we confess our sin, 1 John 1:9, He is faithful, He is just, and He will forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from the thing that caused it, from all our unrighteousness. The quicker you admit you're wrong, the quicker you become strong. Okay. Point number two. How to live in peace. Number two, fill your mind with God's word. God's word is so powerful. Man, I locked into the scripture, John 14:27. And man, I've just been confessing it for like a couple weeks. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. You've given me your peace. Wow. When you introduce God's thoughts into your thought life, it transforms the way you think. And so we don't conquer negative thoughts by just trying to get rid of them. Part of the way we conquer negative thoughts is introducing superior thoughts. Okay, Mr. Fear Thought, let me introduce some things. God's not giving me a spirit of fear. And so I intentionally and repeated with repetition, I introduce thoughts into my mind. God's word. What does it do? It transforms my world. Isaiah 26 says this: you will keep him in perfect peace. In the Hebrew, it's beautiful. Peace, peace. Shalom, shalom. Well, how would that happen? Whose mind is stayed on you. The battlefield for your life is your thoughts, your mind. Satan's weapons are thoughts. God gives you his weapons, which are superior, and you can win the battle in your mind. You can win it. Number three, give your burdens to God in prayer. We talked about that earlier. Cast all your cares upon God, for he cares for you. So a couple things. Well, Pastor, I can't sleep. A lot of people, anxiety is kind of internalized. It affects their nervous system, all kinds of things. But it's a whole big part of it is you're carrying stuff. Give it to God. Cast it to God. I'm going to close with that. Let me finish these last two. Point number four, be filled with the Holy Spirit through praise and worship. I like all kinds of music, except one. I'm warming up, Candace. I'm just doing the best I can with country music. I'm doing the best I can. So I appreciate it. I'm a musician. I appreciate music. But when I know I got to change my atmosphere, I know what kind of music to play. So, you know, I've been to 21 cities. I've been to 21 more than that. I've been to 30 hotels this year. I come into a hotel, first thing I do is put on praise music. What are you doing? I'm driving all the devils out of there. God knows what's happening in that room. I don't know. I don't want to know. Put on some praise music. I go out and get, you know, I go out and get some water, some ice, something, and let it play for half an hour. I come back, it's different. Worship changes the atmosphere. In your soul has such a thirst for worship because it engages God in your story. Worship heals. The faster you worship, the faster you heal. So make sure, and now just think about Worship Nation. Think about Bethany Music, where Pastor BJ is leading that song, Yahweh Will Soon Be Out. I mean, saturate your soul with worship. Lastly, refuse to grant anxiety or fear a permanent place in your heart. So we can't help thoughts coming. We most certainly can determine how long they stay. So you're gonna have a crazy thought. In this holy moment, you could have a crazy thought. That's not a sin. Don't let it take seed. Mary and I, in a couple of weeks, will celebrate 45 years of marriage. And in 45 years, we've never said the word divorce out loud. And it doesn't mean she hasn't thought about it 100 times. Just kidding, not her. We would not let the seeds of division grow in our hearts or through our mouths. And we had to work stuff out like every marriage couple does. We're different. She's a determinedly neat person. And so she sees issues I don't see. I said, the floors are dead. I don't see nothing. I don't see any wrapper. No, it's just got to do it. Whatever makes her happy is eventually going to make me happy. And for God's sake, don't let stupid little things make your home unhappy. Man. Well, I don't like the way he does that. He's a man. My wife the other day took time to train me to do something. She's been doing that for 45 straight years. She said, here's how you do this right. And so, thank you. The moment she said it, I forgot it. Don't let the differences drive you apart. Celebrate them in your marriage. Now, that scripture in Peter said this, cast all your cares on God. Why? Because he's in love with you. He really loves you. He cares for you. In English, it's kind of awkward. Cast all your anxieties on Jesus. He cares about you. Now, so here's what I want you to just hold your hands out in front of you in this closing exercise. It's simple. I want you to picture with me every burden and care you have in your world. It could be anything. It could be the person sitting next to you. Don't tell them. Just tell Jesus. It could be health issues, financial issues, the future, children, life, business, ministry. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is, he's willing to take it if you'll give it. So the Bible says this. I don't have to live with that. So I'm going to count to three. And when I count to three, I just want you to say, Jesus, I give it all to you. And if you want to say those things and mention a few things, just do it. But today, I'm determined that nobody leaves this room without being filled with peace. So thank you, Jesus, for lifting our burdens. How loving you are. Ready? We're going to give them to Jesus. And we're going to raise your hands on three. One, two, three. Jesus, we give you our burdens. Come on, just lift them up. Now keep your hands raised. In place of our troubles and fears, we receive your peace. Come on, just tell them, I receive your peace. I receive your perfect peace, Lord Jesus. You gave it to me, and I'm determined to have it rule my heart. rein my mind, decompress my nervous system, and be a part of my journey. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. It's been such an honor to talk with you guys today. Thank you for listening to me. Would you stand your feet, please? Prayer team, if you'd join me down front. In exactly 8 minutes, there's a cheeseburger with your name on it in the courtyard. But before we do that, we want to have our altar call. We always take time to pray for people. The most important thing in life is finding Christ. This is what you believe about Jesus. If you've never received Jesus as your personal Savior, you have a room full of friends that would highly recommend it. The greatest thing in life is to know Him. We'd be so honored to pray for you. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've been away from God, well, make today a homecoming day. We'd be so privileged to pray for you. If you need a healing in your body or your mind, we'd be honored to pray for you. And maybe you're just going, it's okay to be in a storm so intense you ask other people to pray for you. We'd be honored to pray for you. If you say, Pastor, I could use some prayer. Anyone wanting prayer for those or other reasons, would you please join us? And just for 90 seconds, church, would you please worship God with me while those seeking prayer come forward?
We seek Yahweh. Holy is Yahweh. All of the gods, they bow to your
you. We're honored and humbled to serve here. Stay here as long as you want. We're going to keep praying for folks as long as they ask for it. If you can't join us today for fellowship and fun, there's stuff for your kids, there's food for you. Come and join us in the courtyard. You're an amazing church. Have an awesome week. God bless you. If you're leaving, tell someone Jesus loves you like crazy. God bless you.